Is it the end of the world? Yes, it is the end of the world. And it's also the beginning. The beginning of a brand new, solid Juggalo world for us all to enjoy.
We'll never die alone.
What's up, y'all? How you doing? Whoop to the whoop. My name is Kyle, a.k.a. Keezy.
Carver Loyo.
And this is Dequan Delt. We're here. We're queer.
And we steer clear of steers.
I was going to quote the Simpsons episode where he's like, we're here. We're queer. We don't want any more bears.
I was going to go into what that one movie where it's like, steers and queers come from Texas. And you're not a steer or something.
Yeah, I've heard of those old timey like yeah. sayings like that. So what's up, man? How you doing?
Pretty good, dude. How you doing?
Cool. I'm good. This is it's been a crazy week, man. We've been hanging out and living our lives.
Yeah, man. We don't really talk much through the week until we get here.
Yeah, we corresponded a little bit yesterday. Just be like, we're still good. All right, let's do it, man. So it's been a big week. ICP released Yum Yum Bedlam last week. I got my copy. And the green screen might fuck it up. Oh, there it is. It's not fucking up. Here's the copy, man. It's cool. The CD's actually in the whip right now.
Been looking at it, and yeah. I don't have a copy, so I had to, you know, I haven't seen it until I got here.
It's the first time an ICP album's ever come with an ad book. It says ad book right here down at the corner, which I thought was interesting. I mean, I like it, though. I'd rather them have this than, like, all the dumb bullshit ads that of shit that's never going to come out be in the booklet forever.
Yeah, I mean, you know? At least they have a lyric, a separate lyric booklet.
Dude, I love the lyrics. I love that they do the lyrics now. Like, that's always been a thing that annoyed me. I get it. It added a little bit to the allure of ICP in the days of yore. But this whole deck, I think they've been pretty much putting the lyrics in the book. They may have even done it for Wraith, if I don't recall. But nevertheless,
yeah, they did.
I like the trend is all I'm saying, man, because there's some shit that they say that I just don't understand, and it's good to just read it like, now I know. Now that makes sense, and I love it more because of that. So, you know.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Do they feel like they have to put lyrics now because they're not, the lyrics just aren't as precise and clear as they used to be.
See, and that, you know, we talked a little bit about that. I'm gonna bring up our comments because somebody did leave us, I'll look it up on my phone here, it'll be easier. Somebody did leave us a comment saying they agreed with you that like they've become like harder to understand. We mentioned that last week.
I'm sure there's a lot of people that feel that way. I would hope. A lot of times people can't or won't, you know, put it into words or kind of say it. They just, you know, when you ask people like, what do you think about new ICP, they're just like, I don't really like it that much, you know, I don't think the lyrics are as good. That's about all they'll say. They're not gonna, you know, most people aren't gonna go and it's because they're not as clear as they used to be. It's because Jay's voice has changed and the, you know, it's not as just punchy as it, you know. They're not gonna go into that type of shit, but
yeah,
that's what we're here for,
you know. On first listen, like, I did find, and last, I haven't gone back to watch our last week's episode, but on first listen, I do remember being very like puzzled by what they're saying and what they're even talking about.
Yeah.
And I've actually felt like that on many of their songs and on some of the past few Joker's cards, especially. One that always comes to mind is there's one on Mighty Death Pop. The song's called like Daisies or Pushing Daisies or something like that. I have no fucking idea what the hell that song's about. And like, one thing is, and I will get to that, but that song's like really mixed, really weird too. But nevertheless, my point is, I did feel like that when I during the first listen, like I had no clue what the fuck was going on.
Well, we talked through a lot of it. You know, we were obviously doing the show, so yeah, we talked through a lot of it.
If somebody, like somebody in the comments is like, yeah, you understand if you fucking listen and shut up. Like, like, bro, we're doing a fucking podcast. Sorry. It probably isn't the ideal way to first experience something that you really want to like take in, to be quite frank.
Yeah.
And you know, that's why Over the past week, I've listened to this album, I'm not kidding you, probably 20 times. And it just because like and there's a few things to say about that. Like I don't know if it was because like I'm trying to beat it in my head that like I will like this. You will like this. You'll find something to like about it. I
feel like there's a little bit of that probably.
There's a little bit of that just because like it's ICP. I wanna like them. Like but I've been very critical of him in the past, so I don't know what it is now. But nevertheless, I have criticisms that I want to get into on the album. But I want to say that, like, as I kind of listened to it, I found that during the first couple listens, I felt like I was missing him a lot. And, like, I literally did kind of find the groove. And I think it's because I started expecting what was coming next. And I started kind of not listening so intently to just what they're saying, but I because you on second, third, fourth, fifth listens, you're able to kind of put it together. And I think it's honestly like it's something you have to practice. And I don't think a lot of people really consciously do it. I know I don't, but I did with this one. I fell into the groove and started feeling and trying to understand like, why did they even make this fucking song? Why'd they choose these lyrics? Are these like just thrown together? Like all these thoughts running through my head and like, it sounds like sloppy almost and like kind of thrown together at times, but I don't think so. I'll honestly say that I truly love the album. Like I don't just like it. I truly love it.
Yeah. I would say as far as sloppy and thrown together, I wouldn't say that. Well, number one, I didn't listen to the album after the show last week.
This guy blew my mind. I was like, I've been listening the shit out of the album. What do you think? He's like, I haven't listened. I was like, dude, we do a fucking Juggalo podcast. You didn't even listen to the fucking album again.
Oh, well. My issue why I didn't listen to it is because I left here liking the album for the most part, and I didn't want to go in and find a bunch of shit I didn't like. So I just kind of like left it where it was at. And I know I'm going to listen to it more, but I don't know, man. I just couldn't bring myself to listen to it because I know how I am. I'm going to immediately start picking it to pieces.
Yeah.
And I liked last week the show because it was just kind of like a casual listen. And for the most part, I liked it, you know?
Yeah, it was cool. Like the first impression was pretty good.
Yeah. So I don't know, man. That's why I didn't listen to it. I mean, that's literally why.
This is the same guy, just to remind you, that didn't listen to The Wraith, which by the way, happy 19th birthday to The Wraith.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah. 2 days ago.
Man, we got to do a 20 year.
Oh yeah.
Next year.
For sure. I'd love to. This guy, when The Wraith first came out, he didn't listen to it for what? How many weeks? A couple weeks at least. Oh man,
it was a while.
And this is peak Juggalo, like Carver. And like, he just wouldn't listen to it and got mad at anyone who played it around him.
I've always been like that. The reason why I've probably said this before. The reason why I didn't listen to The Wraith is because I didn't want it to end.
I get it.
Like to me, the Juggalo, the six Joker's card saga was the end. That was coming to an end, you know? And I was just like, and I was trying to hold on and shit.
To me, it was always like, this is why we waited.
Yeah.
This is the punctuation that we've been waiting for, you know?
Yeah.
This is the fruits of 10 years of labor.
Yeah. I mean, it was great when I did actually sit down and listen to it. It still blew my mind, but like, yeah. And I'm sure I'll sit down and listen to this when I'm in the right mind state and, you know, appreciate it. Because just all this week, I just didn't feel like I would sit down and appreciate it.
Bro, look, I was at work. I'm going to show you the picture. I had to take a picture of my notes because I didn't want to throw it away. Look, I was at work, like, jotting notes down on, like, a little piece of paper. And I, like, made all these notes about the album.
Jeez, man. Yeah, so, I mean, this is going to be your show for the most part. You need to, because you got to tell me what you think about this album.
Yeah. Well, look, I mean, I could literally rant and rave about it by myself for an hour, but I don't want to do that. I will tell you a few things. I don't want to kind of... I feel like I really could like play the album again and just give it a whole new review. I don't want to do that because I don't want to make you listen to it. But I hypothetically, but here's some notes I made at work. I said the beat on the intro was reminiscent of some old school shit. The intro is just like a weird like thumping or whatever the fuck, but it's reminding me of some old, like, I just made that, I don't know, I made the note because it was something that
like old school, like old school, like 80s, 90s?
Yes, old school 90s, like yeah. ICP. But I said the, I will say that when I wrote this note, I said I hate clown dripping because I don't know what the fuck dripping is. And I know that's like a new, like, Gen Z thing. Like I hear my kids say and shit, like I'm drippy, and like I see shirts that say dripping, and I don't understand it. I'm sorry, this is the old guy in me coming out. I don't understand, like I want to be hip and into it, but I mean, to the point where I'm gonna Google that, like
like drippy wops or something. Like what the fuck does it mean?
I think it's like you're dripping with flavor and coolness. Like I think that's what they're kind of saying. So
why couldn't they just stick to shining? You know what I mean?
I know, like
clown shine.
So I feel like that's almost like a they're almost like catering to like a newer school by doing that. So that initially
with
did
the beat tags as well.
Yes, the beat tags. I still hate the beat tags. Oh, here's what I'll say too about Insomnia. We talked about that being one of the weirder, like we didn't really understand it. That song, it might be my favorite on the album.
Okay,
it's one of them, if not, because. The song is just Violent J like saying wacky weird shit. It's just him saying weird shit.
I do remember that one. I don't remember what we said last week about that, but I do remember that being like almost some like classic J shit.
Dude, there's a line in there I love. I want to find it. He says all this shit, weird shit about the Flintstones, like fucking Wilma and Betty's jacking off and shit. But I mean, that's all weird and stuff. But he's making this. He's got this dope line. He says. 17,665 now I'm counting sheep jumping off a cliff. They each commit suicide. They landed in a bloody heap. I keep hearing that flesh smack and that meat slap and then bone snap and then heap stack. Like it's just like and like they keep playing this like slapping noise in the background. Like there's wicked shit in this is what I'm trying to show you guys.
Yeah,
it's there. It's like it's just it's wrapped in such like a. Especially this song, he's just so casual. It's like and then bone snap and then heap snack and then boom. He's just doing it in such a very. Interesting way that it's hard to follow because if you were writing this as a couple sentences, you know, you would say it in such a way. But when you write these couple of sentences and then chop it up so that they rhyme and then stack them on top of each other, you now have six lines that you all have to remember and kind of follow along to while they rhyme. There's multiples in there. Then heap stack and them sheep stack and then, you know.
And that's one thing that ICP never really did was Maltese.
Dude, I'm saying this might be the best lyricism they've ever had on this album.
I was hearing some lyrics.
Dude, Shaggy spits his fucking ass off on several songs.
Shaggy, I mean, Shaggy's like, I don't know. He seems to be stepping it up. It's almost hit or miss with Jay, though.
Yeah, he's
you know it's hit or miss with Jay sometimes with him trying to be like you know like a rhyme like a rhymer like a rhyme sayer yes. Like a bar spitter
you could tell when he's trying too hard. Like I feel like on the ciphers especially I feel like he's trying too hard on those
never fit I think with
but,
Jay
but that lyric that I just read is a great example of like that's him spitting his ass off to be quite honest.
Yeah, and that's in. You know, and back in the day, he would have never said all those lines. He just would have said like, you know, he would have eliminated, you know, half that.
Yeah,
that
it would have
bar.
Been one line and then another line that rhymed at the end.
Yeah,
like he's
and he would have selected what he said like way more like laser focused.
Yes, I agree. And I think that's part of like there's a few things happening that I'm trying to convey all at the same time right now. They're growing. This is showing that they're growing as like artists in that they're trying new shit and kind of just being loose, which I love. Like if you could be loose and like comfortable, which I feel like Insomnia is a great example of Jay doing that. Panic Attack's another great one. Loose and comfortable. Like it's almost like he's talking, but it rhymes. It's on the beat. It's just in such a theatrical way that like,
if I had to choose a style of new Jay, it would be something like that. Just like loose and casual.
Yeah, I do genuinely like it. I don't think like Insomnia would be I think it would be a shit concert song, just to be clear. I also, there's the controversial tag in the middle of the song, Insomnia, where He at the end of the song, he says he bashes it just to get some sleep. He bashes his head in with a hammer. That's how the verse ends. And then the next, and then it's like Shaggy the Airhead on the beat. And then it's like fucking that slow. He's like, am I dead? How come I don't feel pain? Like he's just doing that, like riding.
Mm-hmm.
That part of this album is the dopest part of the fucking album. It's amazing. I want to like fall asleep to that every night. I think I mentioned it last week. It sounds like it's a, and I stand by it. Like I want to like chop that out and like send it to, Dan Harmon and Justin Roiland and say like this would be a perfect like end of Rick and Morty season 6 theme or whatever. You know, like it's just it's just so cool. And like there's a lot of this on the album actually, where they do a lot of like the almost like the chanting. And that's something I realized while listening to this, that they're fucking masters of, man. Who else is doing shit like that? Like where they're just like chanting shit, or at the end of a song, like it just sounds so like, it's not like they're forcing a chant. It's like, it just sounds fucking dope. Just like, we'll never die alone. Yeah. You know, like,
I mean, I heard that last week on the, you know, the listen. I felt like none of it was like thrown together. Like I didn't feel like any of it was intentionally like lazy.
Yeah,
there might have been a couple spots where it sounded lazy, but I don't think it was meant, you know, I don't think they were being lazy.
Well, I think I felt like that several times on recent ICP albums where like I feel like, man, like why'd you even put this song on here? Like,
yeah,
this was a song that you made and set to the side, you know, like,
yeah,
there's, I felt like that quite a bit on this album though. I mean, I'll be honest and say it. I'll say Clown Drippin' is probably my least favorite, but I there are things I like about it. I've found it stuck in my head a couple of times this week. But other than that, like, I don't think anything, not a single other song on here is like lazy or thrown together. Queens would probably be my second least favorite song, and that's just due to the subject matter. The beat on that song slaps, the lyrics slap, like, the hook is catchy. Like everything about it's good. It's just, and here's something I've had to wrestle with this week too. Is like, is ICP just like a happy band now? Is that just where we're at?
Yeah. Yeah. I think so.
Like,
I think they've been that way for a long time. I think they've been that way since
Shangri-La.
Since Shangri-La even started doing that before. They've always, I mean, even in the late 90s, early 2000s, they started getting real happy. I mean, look at Bizarre. I mean, there's a lot of happy shit on Bizarre. He expertly mixed it like Mr. Happy and things like that, and My Axe and things like that. But yeah, they've always been, for longer than they haven't, been a happy band.
Yeah, it's interesting though. Like this album really, like I've always kind of like, you kind of almost like gatekeep, like, okay, ICP, you have to meet this threshold of wicked shit or I'm not going to think you're wicked anymore. Like, there's always like a something like that back here.
Dude, I'll tell you this. I've never cared about the way them being wicked, like, yeah, wicked and dark and it's got to make me feel crazy. And I've never cared about that. I've always liked ICP as a happy, funny clown band.
Yeah.
That talk about just wicked things.
Well, and that's, I guess that's what I mean. I personally, I'm with you. I never cared that much about them. Like, they gotta be wicked. Maybe I'm phrasing it wrong. I think that their lyrics, like, there is an expectation though. Like, these are the insane clowns.
Yeah, exactly.
They've always rapped about killing and murdering and whatever gross shit and weird shit. If it doesn't have a certain amount of that shit, I'm not gonna be pleased with it. So there's always, I mean, I've tried not to subscribe to that, but there's always a little bit of that, like, where you kind of expect more.
Yeah, I definitely expect that. I don't listen to ICP to listen to them preach to me about, like, women being great.
Right. And that's what's crazy about this is, like, we're to that point now. Like, ICP, they have Wretched 3 songs before it, which is probably one of the darkest songs they've ever done. 3 songs before Queens, which is, To be frank, like, one of the gayest songs they've ever done. And they've rapped about rainbows. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So, and then you have the last song on Fred, which is like, they're gonna play that. And then, I mean, play that for somebody. I forget what it's called. I can't remember. The last song on Fred. The one where they give you the warning.
Yeah.
Play that and then play Queens after it. And it's just like, you know, so a normal person will be like, okay, that's contradictive as hell and that's retarded.
Right. And that's what's crazy is like we've gone from, you know, ICP being wretched to them rapping about Queens. Yeah. And it's cool. I genuinely like it. And I think it's a sign of their growth. Like you could kind of see like when they're in their 20s, they rapped about a lot of this shit. In their 30s, they rapped about a lot of this shit. In their 40s, they're rapping about a lot of this shit. They're obviously thinking a lot about the future, getting older. They're thinking a lot about their lives, where they've fallen on the timeline. All of these songs are about like, or with the exception of like Wretched and a couple fun ones, but the songs with meanings on this album are all positive and love. And that's what this album is mostly about. I think Something to See, the final track, is one of the most beautiful Juggalo anthems they've ever written.
Yeah, I remember that one being really cool. I just remember having a liking this album for the most part.
I think you're able to kind of soak it in more in the moment, because I didn't none of this shit touched me until like I listened to like five or six more times. Yeah. Like especially on Something to See. Let's see. He says, sorry, I know I'm fucking this up. Where is the chorus? If you had to choose, he's like, I want to see all the family crazy tonight. Talking about like, he's saying like, literally before he dies, that's what he wants to see, you know? Each and every one of you, I want it burned into my mind. That shit is so fucking tight, dude.
I mean, it's meaningful.
How do you listen to that and not like feel it?
It's meaningful, man. I mean,
dude, I listen to that shit like I get goosebumps. I get goosebumps just thinking about it right now.
That's one thing Jay's always done, man. He's always looked at the Juggalo. You know, he comes out on stage and looks out at the crowd like in seminars and things like that. And he always manages to tell the crowd and tell the Juggalos like, you know, you guys are unlike anything out there. Like you like. Every time I see this, it like gives me goosebumps. You know, he always says shit like that. Like,
yeah, man. Like you can tell. Like that shit's powerful, man.
Yeah, that like you know that he really means that. Like when you hear something like Queens, and then something like the last song on Fred, it's almost like those are obligation songs. Like sure. I gotta do this last song on Fred to be like super wicked and like fulfill that, and then I gotta do Queens to kind of like.
I'm gonna do a song for my love for the love of my life.
Yeah, and it's just like, you know,
we gotta do it, Shaq.
Yeah,
we gotta do a song for our loved ones. Shaq.
Yeah. Like in the moment, things that like they think they have to do, but Something to See is like shit, you know, that they really feel and they want to do, yes. And it's really deep inside of them. And
yes, for sure. I will say, Carnival of Lights. People were hyping that one up. I don't really care that much about Carnival of Lights. I like it. It's fine, but. That song doesn't like speak to me as much as Something to See or Ain't No Time even.
Yeah, I remember Ain't No Time being really good.
Ain't no time that don't know. Change is inevitable. I wanted to address this while we're talking about Ain't No Time. Ain't No Time's a rock song. And it's this as a rock song, it's better than any fucking rock song I've ever heard Twisted do. I'll be quite honest.
Yeah, we talked about that last week. Like, I like ICP's version of rock than way better than Twisted's version of rock.
And I know this doesn't want to, like, we shouldn't be comparing. I can't help it. Okay, so fuck off. But I just had to put it out there that ICP doesn't even have to switch genres and focus all their attention on it. They literally in the middle of an album, like, let's do a rock song. It's better than any fucking rock song you've heard this year.
But I think ICP just have way more experience with dealing with like sounding, you know, having rock on in their music. I mean, ever since Malenko.
Yeah.
They've been working with rock, like actual rock stars.
Yeah.
Real, you know, people that have been in the rock genre and not only just are rock stars, but like shaped how rock sounds. I mean, fucking Alice Cooper and Slash and things like that.
Yeah,
you know,
dude.
Like, I don't know. In my opinion, Twisted might be like, they might even have a band with them and they're playing their version of rock music, but I don't think they even had the same experience dealing with rock that ICP does.
Yeah, I don't think so. I think it's more of just like, oh, that's good background music. Now let's write to it. And like, I feel like to get a song like Ain't No Time or Heart and Soul, like you're writing that song. You're not just writing the lyrics. Like you're writing that song, yeah. You know, in the studio or with the musicians, you know.
ICP's version of rock is like memorable anthems that you'll always remember. Twisted's version of rock is like background music that you'll never fucking care about or remember.
Yeah.
Like I saw one comment somewhere. I can't remember. I don't know if it was on our video or something, but somebody said Twisted's version of rock sounds like an MMA intro music.
Yeah, that's funny. Oh, I think that was on our comments. Yeah, that's really funny. That's a good analogy, honestly, dude. Like
MMA, just an MMA dude coming out to, and like you hear it in the background, then it cuts off and it's done.
ICP's rock is like some, like, I mean, they're on some fucking like Guns N' Roses type energy. I mean, shit, you know what I mean?
It's memorable shit. I mean, it's just, it's way more layered.
I a couple of the notes I had, I said, I hate Queen's lyrics, love the hook beat sound. One thing I wanted to bring up, I noticed, and I kept my ear open for this, and maybe the Juggalos listening can help out too and chime in. Remember on Fearless Fred, they dropped the name of Yum Yum, right? Yeah. Like Jay said, we mentioned like 13 times or whatever the fuck in the album. And no one knew what it was. And it's during the song Night of the Red Rum. Yum, Red Rum, Yum Yum, Bedlam, you know. So I kept my ear out for Easter eggs that could be like for the sixth. The only consistent thing that I found that was kind of that I noticed throughout the album, it's said on many different songs. They say the word slappy or slap. And there's the accidental, the slap nut. Title change on track 13 on the jokes on the digital providers, but I don't know if that's coincidence or anything, but it's just something to think about, throw out there. They say, like, he says, I'm slappy, slap happy, you know, like shit like that. He, like, Shaggy mentions, like,
what do you think about that being the name, like a slap happy being the sixth Joker's card?
Yeah, like there's some shit like, I don't know. I'm not making any predictions, but that's the only... they keep saying slap and slap nut and slappy. Like, there's a lot of slaps. And I know that's, like, probably just me making mountains out of molehills here, but I'm just throwing it out there. It could have something to do with it.
Slap just, Mr. Pappy, the slap happy sappy or some stupid shit. But
slap, it's
you notice they're like
titles, serious slap nut.
Their titles get longer and longer and longer.
That's so funny.
It's gonna be a paragraph by the time the third deck comes out.
So this is what happens when I listen to an album 15 times. I start making these kind of weird connections, all right? But
no, that's fine. I mean, that's how you do it.
I did say, Fuck Regret has a very, very similar beat to Ding Ding. They're both made by Shaggy the Airhead.
Ding Ding Doll.
Ding Ding Doll. Beats are very similar. Just throwing that out there.
Yeah, so they maybe remixed it, redid it.
Maybe. And that might, maybe they're sampling themselves. If you want to talk about sampling shit.
Yeah.
What else did I say? Jokestas. Oh, Jokestas. Do you remember the song Seriously Hilarious from Fearless Fred?
Yeah.
The Jokestas is that for this album. It's the same fucking thing. It's just, they're talking about, we're just clowns.
Yeah.
We're doing clowny shit. And even the vibe is very similar. I think the Jokestas does it way better than Seriously Hilarious. But you know, another interesting parallel. I made a note about the positivity of the songs. Like, I think a Satellite might have been the only one on Fearless Fred that I even remember. But there's so many. Bitch, I'm Fine is a happy song.
Well, Fred was about fury, you know. Yeah. It was. I don't think it was necessarily. I mean, there was a positive feeling on that album through some of the shit. But this is just, I think this is like, you know, to counteract that kind of fury, like, you know, that was when they were mad.
Like kind of bouncing back and forth here a little bit.
Yeah.
Well, they've always done that. Yeah. I was going to say, they do that with Shangri-La, Hell's Bid. I mean, Missing Link, Lost and Found. This is almost like the found of fear, Fury's loss. And then I said, Shaggy spits on Bitch, I'm Fine. And then I said, Carnival of Lights. How does that fit into the Dark Carnival? I have an issue with Carnival of Lights
being 17 ninjas
being on the same album as Here Comes the Carnival. They're both about come to the carnival, but Here Comes the Carnival is literally telling you to come to the most treacherous, hazardous, torturous carnival ever created. And here in Carnival of Lights is like, you're all welcome. We got your back. We'll be cool. It's like heaven up here.
Well, you got to think.
What is happening? What is that?
All right, let me explain this.
Please. Because the lore, this is fucking up lore for me.
You got to remember, dude, every ICP album, in a way, the way you can think about it is almost you're traveling from hell to heaven. You start out at the bottom in hell and you work your way up. And by the end, that's why they always have the heartfelt song at the end. You've made it to Shangri-La by the end. You've made it to, their heaven.
You know, that's actually really interesting. I've never thought about it. Have you mentioned that on the show before?
Probably not. But like that, I've always thought of it that way. It's just,
that makes me feel better with this lore. I'm actually
They've always had that. But just with everything, they've always had, the good, the bad, the heaven, the hell, the wicked, the righteous.
Yeah.
And it essentially an album encapsulates that as well, like a smaller version of that in just one album,
Okay.
So you're going to have it. And that's the way I would think about it anyway. Maybe they didn't even think about it like that, but
it fits, man. I love it.
Yeah. Cause you got to think, Here Comes the Carnival, then Wretched, and then, you know what I mean? And then you start, and then through the middle, the beginning's usually wicked. And then through the middle, it goes back and forth and you're going through your trials and tribulations. And then by the end, you got it figured out.
You're on your way to Shangri-La.
Yeah. I mean, I think a lot of their albums have been set up like that.
Yeah, that's true. Except for morning, guys. I know we haven't been paying attention much to the chat. But he mentioned I Like It Rough was Fred's last song. Thanks, Wake and I. But yeah, like that was a weird one. I mean, that one doesn't fit, but for the lore's sake and for my sanity's sake, I'll accept your explanation because I'm curious like what the mindset is like when you write these two songs, Here Comes the Carnival and Carnival of Lights, which are honestly the same. It's the same message, the same thing. You're just saying opposite lyrics though. You know what I'm saying? Like it's just, it's get excited for the Carnival of Carnage, but come to the Carnival of Lights where we'll treat you fine, baby. We got your back. It'll be cool.
And I think I do remember mentioning something like that. Like we've talked about it, like the wicked carnival, the Carnival of Carnage, but then also like Shangri-La is also the carnival.
Yeah.
We've talked about, I do believe we talked about that before.
We need this lore, like, I don't know how much the comic, I know you said the comic does kind of go into a little bit of this lore. I need a new comic, dude. With fresh, well thought out storyboards and outlines explaining all the lore of the Joker's cards and the Dark Carnival. Stat, get that to me immediately.
They've dropped lore, they drop lore through different mediums, their albums, through games, through different shit that they've done. They've dropped their lore.
Is there an ICP wiki? Why don't we have, we need to make exactly. that if not.
But what needs to happen is Jump Steady, Rob,
yes.
needs to go through and write the lore down. Because he knows the lore better than anybody. He probably knows it better than fucking Jay and Shaggy at this point.
Maybe the cards, like actually the game you have, maybe those kind of explain.
I think those do. We could bust those out and start looking at them. I think those have a lot of lore on them. But Jumpsteady wrote, he was part of the writing of the old comics.
I'm sure he wrote like the lore, like the Yum Yum lore here, the introduction. I'm sure he wrote that.
Yeah.
It reads like Jumpsteady.
Yeah, he's old. He knows the lore so good. He needs to sit down and literally just write from start to finish. Everything put it all in a cohesive start to finish kind of thing.
Like give me a book like the Dark Carnival. where I can just read about it. And like, it shows me like the origin of all the cards. It shows me what happens.
And don't focus on ICP. You know, they're big parts, so put them in there, but they're just characters in this big story.
They're the messengers, so the shit they're saying needs to be in this story, but they don't really have to factor in.
Yeah, and I could write it. You could put the Juggalos in there. You know, you could put how the Juggalos fit in there. You could put what that... You know, in my opinion, the carnival is wicked and it's heaven. It's heaven, it's hell. You're looking at it. It depends on your mind state what it's going to be.
Mm, I like that.
It comes to you as heaven or it comes to you as hell. It comes as hell first. Just like in the Bible, the Antichrist comes first.
Mm.
You know, and then, you know, heaven comes. The rapture comes and then takes you to heaven. And that,
if you're deserving.
Yeah, that's how it's always set up. So I think that, and they may have not thought that, but I think since Jay is he's religious group, going to church and with his mom and shit, I think that's just embedded in his mind that, you know, hell comes first, Antichrist comes first, the bad comes first.
And even as scattered as all of this shit is, you really could make it cohesive. Like if someone sat down, if Rob sat down with
it. Yeah, he could probably literally just mirror it to the Bible.
Yeah,
you know,
honestly,
like a lot of the shit to the Bible,
bro. Like what I'd give for something like that. I think that would be an incredible set piece for their legacy.
Yeah, honestly. I do too, man. I've wanted that too. Like give me a graphic novel.
Maybe after the next six Joker's cards come out, and hopefully that's it for Joker's cards. Yeah. Maybe you could finally get like an all inclusive like 665 Bible,
Tom Wood illustrated graphic novel, or like a set, like a leather bound set.
Oof! Now you're talking
for each deck.
Oh yeah,
like a three piece set for each deck.
Yeah, I mean you can make a little six comic run for each like Joker's card. All right.
Yeah.
So you make like a little volume for each Joker's card.
Yeah.
Then you have the omnibus.
Yeah.
Boom.
Yeah. Do it the same way like Marvel and DC like do their runs. You know what I mean?
Give it to me. Print that. Print it. I mean,
get IDW or one of these like. You know, not the big three. I don't think Image, DC, or Marvel would do that, but IDW would probably do it.
Dude, I could see it also done in such a way that non-Juggalos would give a shit. Like, if the art is dope enough and the story
if it's
is cool.
Fucking Tom Wood. You're damn right. You could have Shaggy and Tom Wood working on it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And also hire other illustrators that will do. Bring some of the old people from the Chaos comics back.
Yeah, for sure, dude.
I'm sure some of them are still around and they do it.
That'd be so dope, man. Please, ICP, I know you're listening.
Tom Wood could do all the covers and the big, like, great splashes and shit.
Email us, deck1del@gmail.com, and we'll feed you these ideas. You can pay us later.
I'd like to work on it. Fuck, I'd illustrate for it.
I'll help, like, piece together the writing and shit.
Yeah.
I'm, like, so pedantic about the lore that I could definitely help make some sense of it.
We should do it ourselves.
Okay. Just make like a story. We'll literally do
we'll start out doing storyboards.
TV show style like storyboards with post-its and shit. I'll literally get a billboard and put it over here and I'll start doing
that.
Yeah,
fuck yeah.
And dude, we can show the Juggalos like, look, all right, here's what we have.
We just like roll it over. Like, here it is. Boom, 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 boom. Yeah, we just do little sketchy fucking storyboards.
Dude.
And then work on them one by one, making them better and better.
Dude, we can get some of our Juggalo homies out there. There's so many dope Juggalo artists, bro, that like would probably help us out. What's up? Carlos Cardenas could contribute. Marcus Rodriguez could do some of the animation.
Yeah, man. There's plenty of artists out there. There's plenty of artists out there that could fucking help us and work on this. Each, you know, we could have an illustrator for each or cartoonist, whatever, for each comic. Or, you know, we could have like, you know, one for one run, one for the next run, or just whoever. We just get whoever at whatever point. It doesn't really matter, you know.
Let's just make it happen.
Just get it done. Mm. Fuck it.
I really like that idea.
And then go to Tom Wood and be like, can you do like the leather bound covers for us? You know what I mean?
Yeah, right.
Like make them like... Because I don't think Tom Wood could mass produce the type of art he does. Like,
yeah, it would be
pump
so
out
hard.
A bunch of that shit. You know what I mean? That's why you got, like, he couldn't do every page like that type of art.
I would love to see his process for making something like this, dude.
Yeah. I think he uses real photos. And then edits them and shit. And then, like, he probably, like, adds all this stuff himself.
I think that's how, I have Greg Horn art. He did the this Batman here. I know you listeners can't see, I'm sorry. This Harley Quinn and that Batman up there.
Do you want me to grab it? Can you pull
No,
up?
they're all like tacked on the wall and shit. But nevertheless, Greg Horn, he I think he does art very similar, where it's almost real looking, but it's so like it's so dope.
Yeah, I've seen other artists, I've seen other comic artists do their processes. Yeah, and they use like what do you call it? They use actual real photos, real pictures and shit, and they'll go through. I mean, that is their exact facial structure.
Oh,
I mean, it looks real.
Yeah, it doesn't look like an artist rendition.
Yeah, no, that's a photorealistic picture. He puts a layer of cartooning over it with computer, however he does it. And then like through the stuff that he makes by himself, I'm sure that's a different process as well. Like he didn't take someone's face to do that. You know, he probably actually drew that and then used the same process for this, but he just didn't use a photorealistic picture.
And heavily Photoshop.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Which is fine. I mean, I love Tom Ward's art, man. I think he's a true wizard. All right, well, let me just finish up my ranting and raving here about the album. That was on the notes I made at the... So Carnival of Lights, I'm okay. I like the song. It's fine. I don't love it. It's one of my least favorite on the album. I mean, I do like it. I truly do. But that's how good the rest of this album is to me. Mike P did the beats for Something to See, Panic Attack, Gangsta Code, and Heart and Soul.
And those are your...
Without a doubt, the best songs on the album. Like, it's not even fucking close, dude.
All right, so what...
I joked about Insomnia. Like, I really love Insomnia. But those four songs are like fucking... Prime. Those will be classic ICB songs.
Yeah.
Mark my words.
I remember all those songs sounding great. Now, looking through this booklet, the ad book. You know, there's some cool stuff in here, but I notice they show you the Devereaux beats. Devereaux beats, and then the Shaggy the Airhead beats.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't they put Tom? Well, why don't they put Mike P in there? Why can't he be?
And let me see that, if you don't mind.
I'm wondering if it's because he's not selling beats like these guys.
That's literally what I was looking for. Because Devereaux, they both have websites, and Shaggy's even says beats for sale, Shaggy the Airhead. So I imagine this is just their way of getting some business, to be quite frank.
Yeah.
So I don't think Mike P needs it.
Mike P don't need it, man. I wonder how much they paid Mike P to do those beats, or if they just had him laying around. Who fucking knows? But either way, like,
why can't
we get an entire Mike P album, man?
I know. Honestly, Mike
P could throw together a fucking Shaggy the Airhead style beat.
Yep.
I'm sure. No problem.
I could. I mean, this is just talking out of my ass, but I'll with the state of ICP right in this moment and their the current sound, writing style, lyricism, and thought patterns, if Mike P had produced this full album, it could very easily have been the best ICP album of all time.
Woo! Holy shit!
I think that's how fucking... That's how good the rest of... That's how good ICP is on this album.
Yeah.
Their beats... That are Mike P. Don't get me wrong. I even made a notes here too. I wanted to give shout outs because the Straight Jacket, I think, did a couple of... Oh, Straight Jacket did all the mixing on this album. Hold on, let's see. St. Cloud Posse, Straight Jacket, and Brandon Benson. Whoever Straight Jacket and Brandon Benson are, all right. They helped mix this entire album. Straight Jacket.
The mixing, from what I heard, sounds really good.
The mixing is fantastic.
They got one mixer through the whole album, right?
Yeah, well, it's interesting. It says mastered by Jim Kissling, which I don't know what that means. If it says all of the songs say mixed in the Cabin in the Woods studio in Detroit, which I think is Jay's studio.
Mix is a very important thing. Like when you mix, that's you're taking all the levels, you're expanding stuff, you're shrinking things, you're putting things to the left or the right or the center, volume.
So then what's mastering then?
Mastering is going through and giving it that final polish.
Okay.
That final polish, and you polish everything, every song in such a way where they all kind of fit together and you don't hear like different sound. You know what I mean?
Ah.
It gives it that shine to a song.
So mastering is you master an album, you mix a song.
Yeah, you mix like every song and every vocal and every little thing. It's a tedious process, mixing. Mastering is you go through and you kind of make the entire album sound uniform with like that shine.
I see. Okay. Well, it's interesting that
they're both very important.
Yeah. Well, I found it interesting that like none of it was, even the Mike P songs aren't mixed by Mike P. They're all, he just did the music.
Yeah, that, a lot of times that happens with producers. They won't do any of the mixing or mastering.
So I'll say this. I want to give props. Like, I mean, this is not to shit on Shaggy the Airhead. I think he did a pretty good job on this album. Like,
yeah, they're good producers.
I think that he is a good producer and he did a decent job. But like Straight Jacket did the beats for Don't Touch That Flower and Carnival of Lights, which are both really good. Kuma did Here Comes the Carnival. That's the only one he did the music for. And then, oh, I'm sorry. He also did The Jokesas, which I honestly think that The Jokesas and Here Comes the Carnival, those are some of the most like ICP sounding beats on this album. Like that's like some straight up old school, like ICP type shit. So I think Kuma's he might be doing the best at like keeping that kind of sound. I think Mike P's doing the best at keeping their new kind of sound.
Yeah. Like expanding them like he always did.
Yes. And, but yeah, the Shaggy the Airhead songs are some of the less great ones. I will say this. I noticed at the Hello Wicked pre-show party or whatever, they gave him an award that said best producer for Yum Yum.
Who did?
They gave Shaggy the Airhead an award. I thought that was really
I mean, like, I can't, oh man, I don't know. I'm not going to go on here and like hate on Shaggy the Airhead.
I don't, I didn't mean producers, to.
But I'm sorry. In my opinion, Mike P is light years beyond these guys. I mean, I don't know. Maybe Shaggy the Airhead could do something. Maybe he is a musician. Maybe he could pick up and do a beat just like Mike P, or even better. I don't know. Maybe they're using Shaggy the Airhead because they want his specific style. I don't fucking know. But all I know is what I've heard from Shaggy the Airhead is like, it's just, it's typical beats. It's typical raps that you hear everywhere.
And I think
hip hop shit.
I think that's why they use them. Like I truly think yeah. That's their way of appealing to that kind of audience.
And here's my thing. If they're giving him awards and this is like, this is my opinion. I see Jay sitting down with these younger producers going, all right, guys, I promise you, you're going to be on the sixth. I'm going to let you, I swear, if you stay here, you're going to be on the sixth, man. I'm going to let you produce it all. Okay. I promise you. Yeah, you know how Jay is. Like, yeah. He's going to hold to that. Even though he like hears the beats and he's probably in his mind going like, oh man, we should probably,
like I can make
but
it.
But I got it. But he's going to keep his promise.
Yeah. You might be honest.
Cause he wants to keep his promises to these young guys. He wants to keep them on his team.
Well, I feel like,
he's going to promise them the world. Yeah. He's going to let him handle things that maybe they shouldn't be handling.
He gives him a way of, or Jay has a way of kind of like latching on to people. It seems like, I mean, he latched on to like ABK during the Wraith era. Like he was on everything at the moment, not producer wise, obviously, but then like they latched on to Young Wicked during the Marvelous Missing Link era.
Now he's latched on to Ouija. He really loves Ouija.
Yeah, Ouija.
If you paid attention to the No Jumper interview, he really talks highly about Ouija and the producers come with him, you know, they're a package deal.
So yeah, that's probably why too. I think Ouija, I know, was working. He's worked with Devereaux a lot. Yeah. Devereaux's, I think he's kicking ass. I could do without the tags, but I mean, I think he's good enough. Like I said, he did Ain't No Time, which Ain't No Time is fucking great. He did a fantastic job on that.
I'd say all the beats on this album are at least good.
Yeah.
But the Mike P just is better. It's just a lot better. But anyway, yeah. Shaggy the Airhead, Devereaux are Ouija producers, right?
I mean, they're like, I think so.
I think they came with Ouija, right?
Yeah. I wasn't sure about Shaggy the Airhead, but I know Devereaux did, but I don't know much about Shaggy.
But Jay is trying to keep these younger guys on his team.
Yeah.
And he's going to promise some Joker cards. And, you know, he's going to say, and not only that, these are now royalties that these guys are going to be getting from here on out. Like, that's another thing he's doing. He's probably going, look, I'll put you on a Joker's card and you'll be set. You'll be getting money from this shit forever.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean, that is a huge deal, man.
Like, so he's giving these guys a lot of stuff, you know, even just letting them produce a couple tracks on this album is giving them, you know, guaranteed money
more than they've had. Until this point, probably.
Because I know Ouija, I know he sells albums. Does he sell as many albums as ICP, though? You know? Yeah. Like actual physical albums? I don't know. it'd be good to see those numbers. But I know, like, I know Yum Yum is on the, it's charting.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
It's charting like in the top five on some of these charts.
Good. I think it deserves it.
I don't know the exact like Billboard numbers and stuff, but.
It was funny. I was, I mentioned it. I was talking to my therapist lady the other day and I told her, I was like, yeah, it's been a decent week. New ICP album came out. She's like, I didn't know they still made music. And I was like, and that's like a common thing anymore. I even told her, I was like, you know, I've gone from the age of like being a literal child liking ICP and like I've grown with them for, you know, almost like 23 fucking years. You know what I mean? So it's really, it's a fun thing to see like how, like to live within them going from underground new shit essentially to being old school, you know, underground shit. Again, they went from underground new shit to being like spotlight back into the underground, but just like, you know, and their vibe has changed and it's fine and it's all good. And I'm with all of it, man. I'm riding the wave and it's good.
Yeah, man. I've always said like, I'm with it till the end. I'm riding the ICP, the Juggalo wave until the end. There's times where maybe I was off the boat and I was on like a reserve boat, like floating out to the side, like looking back going, yeah, they're still there. They haven't sunk yet. They're still out there.
Right.
But, you know, and then I'll come back for, you know, I'll paddle my ass back to the boat, the Juggalo boat for a while and shit. But I've always been like floating, you know, I'll get on and then I've always got off and just kind of floated on the side, get on, float. I've never been on the boat like in the middle the entire fucking time. But, you know, I'm going to be with them until it's done, until this boat is done.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, in the boat, I don't think we'll ever sink, but they're, you know, the captains will definitely be gone one day, you know, and there'll be a lot of shit gone one day, but I think the boat will always be out there. You know, the Juggalo culture will always be there, kind of like the Grateful Dead.
Oh yeah, man. They've created like, a legacy that will long outlive them. So, I mean, they've done their fucking jobs. As long as they keep putting out, good music, you know, I'll keep singing their praises. I'm with you though. I'll keep following them regardless, man. But like this kind of shit, like Fearless Fred, don't get me wrong. I liked Fearless Fred, but I feel like I almost made myself like it. With this one, I felt like that at first. And now I really genuinely in my heart of hearts, truly love this album. I don't love Fearless Fred. I don't love Mighty Death Pop. I don't love Marvelous Missing Link. Found is a different story. We'll get to that, but this is probably my favorite out of the second deck. I'll say this. This might be my favorite album they've done since Shangri-La.
Wow. That is interesting.
And you know what? Like I texted you earlier in the week, like, I don't like this album. I was like, I only like the Mike B songs. And like, don't get me wrong, I've grown not just to like them, to love them, but the all the other songs, like I keep finding them stuck in my head. I keep like playing them and really enjoying like all of it. There's none of it where I'm like, okay, I'll just keep listening. I'm like, yes, yes, yes. Every song, like, yes. You know, I haven't felt like that in a long time with an ICP album. So it's really nice.
That's good, man. I'm glad you enjoy it so much. I'm gonna listen to it, and from what I heard last week on that listen, I don't think I'm gonna dislike or hate this album, you know.
Yeah.
Is it gonna beat Bang Pow Boom? Never. I love Bang Pow Boom as one of my favorite ICP albums. I mean, it's probably in my top five favorite ICP albums, but will this be probably the better, one of the better second deck albums? Yeah. I'll give it that from what I heard. You know, to be completely honest, I don't listen to Lost or Found at all. I don't even like when we do that album, I'm gonna have to listen to it because I never listen to that album.
Yeah.
Fearless Fred, I barely listen to that one. You know what I mean? I go back and listen to Death Pop and Bang Pow Boom the most as far as the second album.
I've listened to Yum Yum more than I've listened to any of the other second deck albums, but or Mighty Death Pop, I might be close, but I get it. Like with Fred, I listened to it a lot in the first like couple weeks, but I've never
Yeah.
Never once since like 2019 gone back and listened to Fearless Fred, I don't think.
Yeah. Fearless Fred was like a fan service album, and I think it did its job.
Yeah.
I think it was a really good album that, you know, did the fan service. And
this album was service.
Yeah.
This is a Joe Bruce and Joey Utsler service album.
Yeah. And you hear them on this album.
Yeah, you don't hear. I mean? Yes, yeah, that's a great point. This is Joe and Joey.
Yeah.
more than it's Jay and Shags, and that's a great point.
Yeah, they've broke kayfabe, you know, for the most part. They're not characters anymore.
Well, there's some songs where, like, I thought that even on this album where especially on Ain't No Time, Jay raps about his failed relationship and how he's paying her child support and this and that. Like, I don't know how true, like, a lot of the actual lyrics he's saying. I feel him. I feel what he's saying, regardless of if it's truly hit Joe Bruce's life. So that said, I think that he's rapping as Jay, but he's expressing the feeling of Joe.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, it sounds corny to say that, but there's many moments on this album where I noticed that I felt like it was Joe and Joey talking, but then they said some goofy shit. It's all, yeah. Okay. It's obviously, but they kind of like, they're making it more like fluid. Like, mm-hmm. I don't know how to really interpret that.
Well, it's definitely a bit like they're not what they use. I mean, they're definitely not
the characters
ICP from Malenko.
Right.
Or Jekyll Brothers. Like, I don't hear like their wrestling gimmick anymore.
Yeah.
You know, because that's what they kind of were. They had a wrestling gimmick that was always on.
Yep. You're right.
A character that was always there.
I mean, now they're posting pictures with no fucking makeup. I mean, they're talking about Jay's on No Jumper talking about his pill addictions and shit.
Yeah,
like,
man.
It's wild. It's such a weird time to be a juggalo.
The curtain is pulled back, and literally the only ritual they really still do is the makeup on.
Yeah.
During like when they're on screen and shit like that. I mean, that's like, I wouldn't be surprised if that comes off one day.
I wouldn't either. I hope not.
I really wouldn't. Like, they'll still do it for their shows and stuff, but sure. like in interviews, like, and just like talking, what, you know, but
I think this album is a good, like, bridge from the Wicked Clowns to Joe and Joey.
Yeah. Yeah. It sounds, I mean, as weird as it is to say that, I mean,
I'm here for it. Like, I truly, like, I'm with the growth, and I and that's something I think that had to kind of click while listening to this album. Is like, I did have like this isn't like,
growth.
Yes. Good one. I had in the back of my mind, okay, Queens, come on, like, give me a fucking break. This ain't, these beats are kind of whack. I had all those thoughts, but it was just cynical. And like, I had to kind of switch gears and be like, you know, why, that's what I'm saying. I'm like, why are they writing this? And that kind of, that helped me to kind of feel like this isn't for me. You know, it's not, they didn't write this shit for me. You know, I'm thankful I get to hear it though.
Yeah. We'll see, man. I'm still praying that the sixth of this deck could be Mike P or Mikey Clark. Probably not. They're probably going to go with, you know, more of what they did with this one.
And
depending on how long it takes, because if they take 3-4 years for the sixth,
a lot could change.
These producers could leave them, they could end up going back to, you know, who knows.
Ouija will be a magic ninja by then.
but we'll see how long it takes, man. They ain't got, I mean, no time, bro.
Ain't no time.
They even said, ain't no time. They don't have a lot of time to put this shit out if they want to do another fucking deck.
And that's what they say, man. Change is inevitable.
Yeah. And it is. And I'm not mad about it.
No,
but,
man. I this album helped me come to terms with that. Like, you know, I've always been a fan of ICB, but it's like, it's been for different reasons throughout my life. And now it is for, I'm for this stage of ICB. I'm with it, man. I'm really, really clicking with it. I genuinely, truly dig it a lot.
Well, that being said, do you want to talk about some other things, Jay? Yeah. the No Jumper interview, which I watched the whole thing. You said you watched a little bit of.
Yeah. What I saw, like, where he started talking about his addiction, and which was toward the beginning. And then I did see the clip where he challenged Eminem to a rap battle.
Yeah, there was a few things about that interview. You know, a lot of it was, you know, in all these interviews that ICP has been doing for the past few years, they get a lot of props in these interviews now.
Yeah, it's weird. Can I just say this too? I fucking hate the No Jumper guy.
I'm not a huge. I don't watch any. I don't watch No Jumper unless ICP's on there. So
I think he's so whack. He's just trying so hard to like be cool, man. Like I can't.
Yeah.
I can't look at him and like think like this is really like what's considered like he's like the good interviewer on YouTube guy. Well, like give me a fucking break, bro.
I'm not the biggest fan of the guy, but I will say there's some questions he asks that I've never heard any other interviewers ask for ICP. Okay. Like he's kind of like, to me, he was kind of schooling Jay on why people think rappers who spit over their lyrics against rappers who don't, who just do it
like during a live show,
during their live shows and stuff like that. And he's kind of telling Jay, like, this is why people respect rappers a lot that don't rap over their lyrics at shows, because it's very hard to do. And
ICP have rarely done that.
Yeah, they've never done that, hardly ever.
They'll have like little like ad libs. I think those are just to kind of give them place markers.
Yeah. And there was a point where like Jay thought that like he thought that the No Jumper guy was like saying like you should rap over your lyrics.
Oh, okay.
And then the No Jumper guy said it's better if you don't, because Jay was saying, yeah, we had to teach Ouija to do that. Ouija came out rapping without his lyrics and the Juggalos weren't having it. So we had to teach him how to do that. And then the No Jumper guy is saying, it's better if you don't do that. That's why people respect lyricism.
Okay.
And I think like Jay didn't understand. Like, I think there was a little miscommunication there, but like that type of shit, like hip hop shit that like that guy's telling Jay is like, you know, like people respect guys who can just go out there and spit without the backing track.
Oh yeah, for sure.
I mean, like, it's just way more impressive.
Was Jay saying that they do that now or something? Like, I don't
he was saying that they don't do that. Okay. Like, they, you know, they spit to their tracks, you know what I mean? Like, he was admitting, he wasn't trying to say like, oh, you know, we go out there and no, he was just like, that's how we do it, you know, that's how we've always done it. But
okay,
to me that was interesting, because I don't think Jay's ever like really been brought to that in a big interview.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's kind of showing him, it's like the other side of hip hop that people really respect, like the actual true art form of like being a fucking dope rapper, yes, not having to have backing tracks, this type of shit. And I think Jay is kind of wanting to lean towards that. He's wanting to lean towards, yeah, I am a hip hop great. I am, you know, I didn't want to be old school, but now I'm coming to terms with that. I'm an old school great. Like, you know, I'm on the, you know, I'm on that upper tier of like great rappers. I think that's kind of getting to his head in a way. I don't think too bad, but I think because every interview they're getting props and shit. But I just thought it was the No Jumper guy kind of bumped him down. It's like, oh, you're great, but these rappers that don't spit, that's, you know, spit without the backing track, they're better. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, that's kind of what, like, that, what I got out of that.
Okay. So the No Jumper guy thinks that ICP spits to their tracks.
Oh, he knows they do. He knows, like, I think he knows that they spit over their tracks at live shows. He knows that.
But you just said they don't. Well, I'm confused.
No. I said the No Jumper guy is saying that if you don't spit over your track, you're better.
Of course, yeah. Okay.
That's all I'm saying. And Jay, you know, he was like confused at first. He didn't know, you know, he didn't know what he was getting into. But right, no, I don't remember saying that. I don't remember what I said, but that's not what I meant.
Nevertheless, I agree. Like, the Jay, you know, he probably is letting it get to his head a little bit, especially with every time this is his third interview with the No Jumper guy, which I only knew of the other one. Have you seen a third interview with him?
I think I've seen them all.
Okay.
But I know this one was weird without Shaggy.
Yeah, that's kind of weird.
Weird.
But he did say, he's like, Shaggy's just taking the holidays off. Like, okay. I mean, Shaggy is he's a fucking family man, dude. Like, I watch Shaggy or listen to Shaggy and the Creep, and like his wife and kids are always like hopping in there and like,
yeah, oh yeah, yeah, yeah,
you know, like he's like a regular ass dude these days. So
yeah, and I think Shaggy's a little more in touch with reality than Jay is.
Yeah, probably.
I think I've always said that, but yeah, Jay's a little, he's crazy, man. I mean, Jay's always had the mental issues, and he admits it, and he's not afraid to admit it, and it doesn't bother me that he has these mental issues, and I'm sure it disconnects him from reality sometimes. But yeah, he's admitting that he's doing pills on there. He's admitting that, you know, he's having trouble, his heart issues. He's admitting all this shit on camera now, and he's not afraid. He's being himself. He's being Joe, you know.
But he was saying, I feel strong. I saw that shit. Like, so he's like, I'm glad that he feels great. Like, I mean, that's really hopeful, you know.
There was one thing I noticed, though. He shakes a lot. You notice his hands?
I didn't notice.
Yeah, his hands are constantly shaking now. I don't know if that's just nervousness being on the interview. Yeah, that maybe. Might be that. Like, you know, back in the day, he used to put on that character, and it seemed like, you know, that's probably what he did to not be nervous around, like, celebrities and things. But, like, in this one, like, nowadays, Jay leans forward a lot.
He's, like, hunched over. And
he's
shit,
hunched over, and his hands shake, and he's always, like... it's weird, and I don't know if that's just from time of doing drugs and things, and maybe it's, you know, that's kind of a side effect or whatever. But yeah, it definitely seems he's very jittery and nervous, but maybe, like I said, maybe that's just what his hands do now.
Okay,
I don't know,
maybe.
But yeah, and I think him wanting to be this hip hop legend thing now he's, you know, now he's talking about the cipher, you know, or the verses.
And he wants to do a verses with Eminem.
Verses with Eminem. I'm just like, ugh.
Which, what? I don't know what a versus is. It's just a rap battle, right? Is there like a specific?
No, it's not a fucking rap battle.
What is it?
A rap battle is when two rappers fucking battle each other. A freestyle fucking battle. Like,
well,
no,
what's a versus then?
A versus is like a big production that like tries to think it's that.
Oh.
I don't think a versus, in my opinion, a versus is not a fucking battle.
What, like, physically, what does a versus look like?
A versus is like, sometimes it's groups or it's like two people, but they perform their songs.
So
they go out there and perform their fucking songs.
And then people vote or something?
I don't know, I guess.
I don't know. I don't know. I've never heard
of it. It's not a fucking battle to me, dude.
So, but it's almost like in the interview, it's portrayed as some sort of battle. Like Jay's like, oh, let's do it. For a battle for Detroit or whatever.
It's like you're almost putting up your product against the other person's product. Rather than like on the spot wit of freestyle battling, which is what Eminem did back in the day, is what 8 Mile portrayed.
Yes.
That's what a battle is what 8 Mile portrayed.
So that should be a versus.
Yeah, in my opinion, a true versus battle is Jay and Eminem get up there and they fucking freestyle battle each other, which Jay would be annihilated, of course.
Oh yeah, well, I mean, let's keep it completely real. Like, they're spitting their ass off for ICP on this, you know. Mm-hmm. Like, they're like, Eminem is like undeniably the GOAT. Like, it's laughable to think about anyone, especially ICP, in a battle with Eminem and winning.
Yeah,
give me a fucking break, but. I'll enjoy any song on this over any other Eminem song.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But I will say this. Now, if ICP and Eminem do a versus battle where they're battling their songs against each other, like old school Eminem songs and old school ICP songs, there would definitely be ICP songs I think that are better.
Oh, yeah.
Way better than some old school Eminem songs. I love some old school Eminem, but there's definitely old school Eminem songs that I think would beat some old school ICP songs, but not many.
Yeah, but when it comes to lyricism, like, it's no question. But when it comes to theatrics,
yeah,
ICP's got it. Like, yeah, you know, when it comes to like creativity, ICP probably has it.
Even some lyricism of old school ICP, it may not be like as lyrical or as like skillfully done as like Eminem, but there's definitely lines that I laugh at more and I like get a bigger reaction out of from old school ICP
for sure.
You know,
yeah, I mean, it's silly to think that they would do a versus anyways. Like, let's keep it. First of all, like ICP, like while they are like old school, like legends in a hip hop sense, like Most people on Earth don't give a fuck about ICP.
No.
But a lot of people on Earth give a fuck about Eminem, so.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. Eminem could go out there and shit on the fucking stage. Yeah. Just sit there and go... and they would be like, yeah, oh man, he's killing. He's killing him. It doesn't fucking matter. Like Jay doing that, I'll say two things. Jay, that's stupid. You would get annihilated. No one would be. I know in your head and like on No Jumper, like you're being respected as these old school guys and like greats and in the music world, and people are giving you props, but. If you were to get on stage with Eminem in front of a crowd or a televised thing, the world would be like, you guys are shit. Eminem crushed you. Yeah. Doesn't matter what fucking happens. So you're naive to think that anybody would even consider giving you like a chance on a versus thing. That's completely naive.
I didn't see how the conversation got to that point on the interview because I didn't watch that far. I just saw the clip. So, I mean, like, how the fuck is that even suggested?
Same. I think No Jumper did it.
He's just like, you're Detroit? He's Detroit, huh?
Yeah. Well, they started talking about, like, other rappers and, like, what do you think about this versus thing? Man, I think Psychopath or, you know, Psychopath and Eminem and D12 need to go. And then he was like, and then I think Jay said, I would like to just go against Eminem. And I'm just like, Jay... Like I said, number two, not naive. Or number one, naive. Number two, big fucking balls. I'll give that to Jay. That is absolute fucking big balls.
I mean,
to challenge Eminem.
Plus, I mean, Jay's not stupid. He knows saying that on what's probably the biggest hip hop like interview podcast in the world is going to get people soundbiting that. You know what I mean? Like, he knows that shit.
Yeah, I mean, that's absolute big balls. He just said something and put something out into the fucking world.
Yeah.
That if it really fucking happened, man, you would be in some trouble. Hey, man, I gotta say, that's big fucking balls. Like, sometimes Jay's filter is just not there, and it's just like he just says shit and it's just like, dude, what if that really happened? Like, what if what you said really happens, man?
But what if it happened and then not like, what if it happened and then like Violent J like spit his fucking ass off and like put him in the dirt? That'd be incredible. I mean, look, people in the comments, Ninja with a Pencil, what's up? And Mike Riccioli, he said that, Ninja with a Pencil said that what era of music was 6 years ago? That's when he started doing pills. He said, I think we can all hear that influence. It matches up with how long he's been with Blase. Is Blase still with Blase Rose? Is that like a thing?
I don't know.
He thanks her in the credits on this, but she has no contribution to it. She's not in the credits.
She's in the beginning, right?
No, that's not her. That's, it says vocals by Lainey Chantel and the Lady Tigra from La Trim. And those are both thanked in the players, but. Somehow, Blase Rose is thrown at the bottom above Lainey Chantrell. Anyways, I don't know what she had to do with making the album. Anyways, I don't know Violent J and Blase Rose's status. I don't understand. Like, I know they were together, and then they weren't, and then they probably fuck all the time.
Yeah, I think it's just like...
She's a crazy bitch, and who knows? Like,
I think it's like she doesn't want to be with him because he's a 50-year-old man that he's, you know, he's a loopy 50-year-old man, and she's what? In her 20s, late 20s. I don't know how old she is.
Blase? Yeah, I think so. Look, Element Only, he said, no, there's pictures of his new girlfriend and she's super hot. And then he said, Lainey Chantel is his new girlfriend. Okay. I mean, look her up on Facebook. I mean, send me a fucking link. I'm doing a show, bro. Help a brother out. Send me a link. I want to see that shit, though.
Well, it seems like Jay has kept every woman that he's had during his career around. I mean, isn't Sugar Slam still around?
I mean, that's his baby mama, right?
Yeah, I mean, like, he's still friends with her. He's still friends with Blase.
Yeah, like. And that's what's interesting, too. If, like, I think he is friends with Sugar Slam. So that's, like, a lot of the shit he says on Ain't No Time, like, kind of like, damn, like, he's really, like, saying some fucked up shit about it. Like, that's why I don't think it's about Sugar Slam, by the way. But, let's see. Her profile picture is her and Jay on Facebook. I don't know. Lainey Chantel.
A Ninja with a Pencil says, Blase is part of Inspiration, and so was Twisted. Why? Disloyalty.
Well, Twisted wasn't thanked in the credits, though.
No, but I'm thinking he's saying that Blase is part of the Disloyalty inspiration of the album.
Okay, I can see that.
She might be part of the... She might be the plan itself. Like, you know, she lures you in and then fucking bites your dick off with the teeth.
Okay. I see. I mean, this is her. Here's a picture. There's a picture of her and Jay. I'm trying to, it won't let me pull the picture up. Okay. Here we go. I'll show you ninjas. I got it. I pulled it up since nobody can send me a fucking link.
That's her.
All right. So this must be her right here. Oh, she's got Yum Yum makeup on. That's cool. Oh, look, Jay's got the Just When You Thought They Were Dead poster up in his room.
Is that his room or is that her room?
Oh, I don't know. Let's look through these pictures. Let's see. This was from November 5th.
Dude, this is weird. I ain't gonna lie. This is weird seeing Jay. Is that one of his kids? That looks like a kid.
This girl?
Yeah.
No, I mean, that says pick by my girl. Then I think that's her, dude. Yeah, that's probably her. That's not his kid. I mean, his daughter is probably like 15 or 16. Look at that. Oh my gosh, this is weird.
This is so weird, dude. this is weird.
This is just posted to all of her pictures are from like this week. That's from the Ouija Mac.
Is that one of her? Is that her?
Maybe. Oh no, she had a tattoo on her shoulder. Well, I guess they could have covered it up. It looks like they did cover it up with paint. I don't know.
I mean, there's some banging chicks, but
yeah. There she is with some other random dude.
She looks like she's got a cute face.
Yeah,
for
she's
sure.
cute.
I mean, she's those eyes are crazy. It looks like some anime eyes, dude. Yeah. Holy shit.
I think she has some contacts in. She looks pretty cool.
Huh. Yeah, I mean, she's...
It's kind of weird just creeping through some chick's Facebook on...
She's a cute girl.
Yeah, but here's where we are.
That's her?
That must be her with her old dude. She went from this fucking dude to Violent J.
No way. No fucking way. What was she? What I mean, was she like an actress?
I don't know, man.
Actor? Actor. Actress for Oops. Like a show or something? I don't
know. Lainey Chantel. All right, so I mean,
okay, cool,
look,
Jay.
I can't feel that bad. I mean, Violent J put her in the fucking liner notes. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah, I mean, cool. Yeah, he's got a hot chick. He's got a. Doesn't she remind you of Blase a little bit? Same
I mean,
type
sure.
of chick.
Violent J definitely has a type. You know,
he's got
I mean?
That type. Dyed hair, a lot of makeup. You know, kind of petite.
Yeah, this is the picture. That's her profile picture.
Yeah,
I don't know, man.
I mean,
suicide good, girl. Yeah, that's a good representation. That's what Jay's into.
Yeah,
suicide girl.
I mean, good for Jay, man. I mean, I'm glad he's. I mean, I just hope you survive this when she rips your fucking heart out and stomps on it. And
it says she's a.
I just hope he survives it this time, man.
It says she's a makeup artist to the stars.
He, you know.
Look, and Ninja with a Pencil said, if the intro is not Blase, but definitely sounds like her and was not credited, that was done on purpose. I mean, hold on. What did he say? Who did he say did it again? The Lady Tigra from La Trim. Lainey Chantel and the Lady T. So he's got his girlfriend on the intro. And I don't know who Lady Tigra is. Like, how there's two. I didn't even think there was two voices on the intro.
I'm wondering if that's why it sounds so pornographic. Like Jay's like, no, you gotta sound like more Lauren. You gotta be like, oh yeah, baby. And she's like, really? Do you want me to sound like that? Yeah, kind of like when I was fucking you the other day. Yeah, like my dick's not hard. My dick needs to get hard when I'm hearing you say it. You know, so he's like directing her and shit. Like,
that. That's so funny.
Like, the juggalos want to, you know what I mean? You gotta be like, you know. So I'm just wondering if that's how it was, man.
That's so weird.
They're in the booth, like in the mic and shit, going, huh, what do I do, Jay?
Oh, wow. All right. Well,
Joseph.
Good job, Jay. I mean, you got yourself a nice little hottie.
Yeah, I mean, she's hot.
I mean, Blase is pretty hot, too.
Yeah, I mean, so was Blase.
Sugar Slam wasn't, nothing to...
I think I like Sugar Slam the most.
Yeah?
I just like, I mean, especially when she was in the fucking show.
What show?
The fucking movie show. What was it called? ICP had a show. Remember that?
What?
Where they watched music videos.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know she was on that. I don't remember.
Yeah, she was like the ballet girl.
Oh, okay. I never knew that.
Yeah, remember she had the big fucking honkers.
Oh, hell yeah. I'll have to go back and watch that. All right.
Yeah, man. I liked her the most. I thought she was like the most. She had the, you know, she didn't have that little, you know, I don't know. 10-year-old girl body. She had like a woman's body.
Yeah, I dig it. All right, man. Well, Shit, hell yeah. Thanks. Oh, look, we got still got 17, just the mighty 17 people watching us. Thank you. Was there anything else you want to go over quickly or anything before we wrap it up? I mean, we're almost at an hour and a half, homeboy.
Well, I don't think we went over this, that the beat for...
oh, yeah, let's talk about that.
The beat for Gangsta Code was a Boondocks beat.
Yeah, so somebody in the comments actually mentioned that last week. I don't remember, if anybody's listening right now, what was the goddamn Boondocks song that they stole the beat?
Now, did they steal it or did Boondocks steal it?
Yeah.
They stole it back.
That's what I'm curious. And Gangsta Code, Mike P made that beat. So I'm curious if Boondocks rapped on it, like or if it's maybe just inspired. Maybe it was kind of like how they did Hound Dogs, like Misery rapped on it, but they never released it.
Yeah.
And then they did it for, they let Twisted have it or whatever. I'm curious. Hey, let's see. Let's type Boondocks.
ICP Theater. That's what it was.
Gangsta Codes. Is it Gangsta Code or Codes? I don't know.
Gangsta Code.
Oh, here we go. I can't even click on that one. Toxic Plague already addressed it.
Yeah.
Well, look, man, we're not fucking here to steal their shine. You know, they're a real true blue news podcast.
Yeah,
we're just speculations.
Speculations.
I mean, go on to youtube.com/ToxicPlagueEntertainment. Shout out.
But yeah, man. Other than that, great album, Jay. Seems to be hitting a new stride in his life.
Boondocks Moving On is the name of the song.
Taking a Mike P beat back from... I'm not going to hate on that. I mean...
Oh, this is... This is from 2014. Let's see. That was fun, but close. But I'm miles away. Too much thinking going on, but not a lot to say. I've done some praying. All right, we're probably going to get copyright blocked for this fucking song. I mean, it is literally the same exact beat. That's so fucking weird.
Why did they... I don't...
I wonder how, like... What album was this on, I wonder? Abaddon. So that was on Psychopathic. So they were just like, yoink!
Yeah, yoinked it back.
I love it,
I'm wondering why. Why?
Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah, so that's an old Mike P beat. So I'm wondering how old these Mike P beats are.
That's what I was going to say. Like, are they actually fucking with Mike P again? Or do they just take some... beats that they had in the studio.
I feel like they're taking beats they had in the studio, man. I don't.
I'll give him this. I give Jay props for not like being inspired by this.
Yeah.
Like, you know how like if you were to write on the same beat as somebody else, you would definitely like, especially a hook where you're singing, like,
yeah.
How do you not like at least try to go with the same flow or whatever?
I'm
like,
wondering if you ever even listened to this song. He might not even ever listen to it. Jay probably had that beat, and Shaggy was like, "Oh, that's one of Boondock's old beats."
Yeah.
Oh, I don't give a fuck. I'm using it.
It's ours now.
Who fucking knows?
That's so funny.
But
Jay, it says Jay starts the song by saying, "That's right, how to take my beat back, my shit." No, he doesn't. Does he? I didn't think he said that.
That'd be cool. I mean, I don't remember.
I'm actually gonna play
cool
it. And see. Sorry, I'm gonna make you listen to it.
That's fine.
This is the beginning of Gangsta Code. Oh,
yeah, he says it.
Wow, I how the fuck did I even notice that? That's wild, dude.
Had to take my beat back. At least he says it.
I love that. That's so fucking ballsy. That's right. Had to take my
Okay, so
oh, wow.
I have a theory. Maybe he's going through, and this is the Disloyal album. So he's going back through the people that fucked him over, and he's taking shit back from them. Like, fuck you, this is mine. Fuck you, this is mine. Fuck you. You know what I mean?
Wow, yeah.
He's fucking people over. And then
I wonder if there's any more examples like that on this album.
Well, this was brought to my attention because I actually watched CPN's video of his Yum Yum review. And he mentions, I don't know where he got this from, but he pulled up the seeds of Yum Yum, and he pulled up a picture of the group Bedlam and showed the comparison, and it seems like the seeds of Yum Yum are the members of Bedlam.
I was trying to bring up a picture of them, maybe. I typed Bedlam rap group, and it's hard to find.
Yeah, there's a certain picture he pulls up that is very telling of Bedlam. Yeah, I don't know. We probably...
So, like, the Bedlam is a... So, they're a horrorcore group, right? Detroit area.
Yes.
Prozac was in it.
Yep.
But other than that, like...
Just type in Yum Yum Bedlam, you know, see if you can... Somebody's already, like, cropped it and put it up. I took a picture of it, but you probably... You're not going to be able to see it on the screen from my phone, but... Yeah, I mean, it's very...
Hold up
very,
to the camera. They'll see it.
Very, very telling, man.
Yeah, I mean, I think somebody on Reddit may have posted something like that, too. And, like, that does seem like... It just seems a little too on the nose. Like, number one, why would they give a fuck about... Bedlam hasn't been relevant in 20 years.
I'm wondering if it's some... Like I said, it's Jay going, I want to take my shit back.
But, like, what would Bedlam have to... Like, they're a horrorcore rap group, but is it because... All right, so yeah, they're showing the seeds, and there's a red line drawn from each seed to each member of Bedlam, which kind of looks similar to them. One's in a hood, one's like all got crazy hair wearing a mask, and the other one's got kind of a skeleton face, which looks really similar to the seeds. I'll give them that. That is really coincidental at the
least. And Bedlam. I mean, the fucking word Bedlam.
Yeah, that is very interesting.
Like... And what CPN said is, like, I can't call this coincidence, and I kind of agree, man. Like, I can't either. Like, and it seems to me like Jay is, like, saying, okay, well, I'm going in the past. Did Bedlam fuck him over? Did Prozac fuck him over? Like, is there any beef with Bedlam? I don't know. Maybe there is, and he's like, fuck you. I'm going to use your likenesses as some of my shit. Fuck you. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I guess it's not out of the realm of possibility. I just think that's a little... While I do agree that it's too close to be a coincidence, maybe, like, I just have to question why. Like, I don't understand. Like, if you're going to do that, like, make two seeds and make them look like Twisted and, like, fucking... like, yeah. Take them off of that or something. Make one look like Mars or... You know what I mean? Like, if that's kind of the shit you're going for, why would you... Why Bedlam? That doesn't even make sense.
I don't know. I know... Didn't they do shit with them in the past? Weren't they...
not that I know.
Didn't they open up for them or... I don't know. I think they had some sort of past together. Either way, it's very... I don't know. Like... Maybe it was just floating around in Jay's mind. Man, there was this group Bedlam years ago. I remember the three guys looked pretty cool. I want to use that as the seeds. Maybe it was just as simple as that.
It could be.
I like that name. I'm going to use Bedlam as the name. Maybe, but wouldn't you be like, man, people are going to see that. Another group. I mean, people know about the group Bedlam. They're going to know that I'm using that as a direct reference for my Joker's card. Like, wouldn't you stop yourself and be like, okay, I'm not going to do that then. Let me think of something else.
Yeah. Prozac, I know you're listening. Reach out, DequanDell@gmail.com or the socials, and let us know, like, what you think about this and why. Why did ICP steal your old 20-year-old horrorcore rap group that no one gave a fuck about? Why did they steal your gimmick and use it for seeds on one of their Joker's cards with zero explanation? Why did they do that? Ghetto Devil, Madness, Prozac, Staples, please reach out.
Now, Madness is CPN is friends with Madness.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
And what CPN said on his show is that Madness didn't care. He was actually happy that he inspired a Joker's card. They inspired a Joker's card. He was like okay with it. So.
It said Prozac and Mikey did Project Dead Man. I know, like, I actually have a theory that a lot of those beats were meant for ICP at the time.
Yeah, because I remember that first album sounded a lot like ICP beats.
Very, very ICP influenced. But I actually really like that album that reason.
Maybe that was when they fell out with Mikey Clark, and Mikey Clark used all those beats that were supposed to be for ICP, gave them to Prozac. Maybe Jay's been butthurt about that ever since.
Yeah, but then why work with them for Death Pop and... Bang, pow, boom. You know what I mean? That doesn't even make any sense.
Yeah, no.
I don't know what they... And even
it
during...
It don't make sense. during
the House Party Peep show, he even, like, was playing Mikey Clark, giving him a shot. Like, I don't think there's, like, bad blood there, you know? So this is all fun to speculate about, but I truly don't think there's shit to it.
I don't know. What do you guys think? Bedlam, the whole thing. I mean, it's a little weird, right? I mean, it seems a little more than a coincidence. I mean,
What is it? Let's get to the bottom of this. Yeah, so there's a couple of examples of them stealing things back for this album. I mean, there's a couple things. The beat, the Bedlam name, the seeds. I mean, it's pretty, I don't know. There's a few things we need to figure out. How old are these Mike P beats? How old are they? How long have they been floating around the studio? Have they been there for 20 years? Are they working with Mike P again? That I want to know that.
Yeah, I need to know.
I want to fucking know that. Okay. Obviously, the fucking Gangsta Code is an old beat. So that makes me think that they're all old beats.
Yeah. Which also fucks up our theory about them working with Mike B in the studio to make those songs with him.
Yeah.
But what that does tell me now is that
maybe they wrote those songs all years ago.
Oh, maybe. I don't know, man. This is all too conspiratorial. Yeah.
I mean, you know how artists are, man. We rap. You know how shit is. We pull shit out of the closet from years ago, use it over, change it a little bit here and there. You know, the shit like that. We have beats and catalogs of beats that, you know, we go through. Hey, let's write a song. Let's listen to these beats from fucking 5, 6, 10 years ago.
Yeah.
You know, so who fucking knows? But I would like to hope they're working with Mike P again, but the fact that he's not credited in the ad book, the fact that, you know, they're using an old beat from that Boondocks has makes me think that, nah, there's beats laying around that they had.
This is a Tempest situation.
Yeah.
Where they just had the beats and used them.
Number two, we need to know if the Bedlam conspiracy is what it is. I want to get to the bottom of that. Number three, I want to know what these songs on this album, where a lot of these samples are coming from. You know, because we see samples from all ICP's past music of artists they sampled. They've sampled from Prince. They've sampled from all kinds of soul and funk groups. And they've sampled from, you know,
Gong.
Hank Williams, Gong. They've sampled all kinds of shit. This is probably too soon to learn, but I want to know what songs and samples they're remaking, because a lot of this shit sounds like old songs. Like they just remade a song in the ICP way. So
yeah, if any jugglers know about, like, I mean, you guys in the comments are fucking killing it with all these little tidbits of information. Like, we truly like love when we're just speculating up here, and y'all can like fact check and give us like information. We can look up Violent J's girlfriend live on the fly. Like, I mean, I don't have this information. I'm not on Facebook. I don't check into Facebook news groups. I don't watch a single minute of ICP YouTube videos. I don't know shit. So everything I'm saying is just up here.
Yeah.
That I've made up and maybe discussed with you or seen in passing on Twitter.
Yeah, I'm a little more into the Juggalo YouTube culture than you are, I think. Not much more. Like, I'll watch a CPN video here and there when he drops one, and that's about it. And then I might just search, like, Yum Yum Review, and I might go through and just look at a bunch of different videos, like, here and there, just to see what people are saying. But that's about it. I don't follow, like, one YouTuber more than the other, or isn't that? I don't stay up on news. I don't go to Fago Lovers. I don't go to any, you know, news sites.
But we want to make like an ongoing, like, ever growing list just to catalog like these samples that ICP have been using for not only inspiration, but complete beat ripoffs with some hi-hats thrown on.
Yeah.
You know, like, there's examples of that throughout ICP's history.
Yeah.
And I'll be honest, I think that contributes a lot to their original sound. Like,
yeah, for sure.
Like, that's a big part of what YSP sounded the way they did.
They've always sounded the way they did because they have sampled and redone pop music.
Yeah.
They've always stuck to pop music and then mixed it with rock and hip hop, you know, especially, you know, Malenko and On is definitely they've sampled so many pop,
like, that, know, is ICP style, is literally like
wicked pop.
It's sampling. ICP style is sampling shit, wickening it up a little bit.
Yeah. Now, maybe next show we can talk about these samples. We can dive into ICP samples. We can dive into, you know, what they've been influenced by. And I'm not talking just music. I'm talking movies, shows and things like that from like what probably shit they would have seen when they were kids. Because I've got a lot of ideas about that.
Okay. Yeah.
Of why the Dark Carnival even came to be in Jay's head, because I have ideas of the shit he probably grew up watching and listening to that gave him these ideas.
Okay.
You know?
Well, if you guys know of any samples that we don't know of or that no one has heard of, like, I mean, comment it, email us, like, set DM us. Like, we want to build this like collection and talk about like all these samples and why they're so important to ICP sound. You know, I think that's a huge untapped discussion regarding their music.
Yeah, we're already having some stuff come in. Other people's music, Panic Attack and Wretched use lines from Plowed by Sponge, Panic Attack, Interpolates from Mother by Tracy Bonham, from Mother by Tracy Bonham, Heart and Soul, cover of Heart and Soul by T-Paw?
Here, I'll say this.
Something to see use lines. See, people are already finding a lot of the shit out from Ray Bradbury. The Dark Carnival does stem from Ray Bradbury. Ray Bradbury, huge influence on Jay.
He said most of the stuff is on Genius and will be on Who Sampled soon. Okay, dope. Other people's music. I like that. I mean, that's such a relevant username to be commenting on this. We appreciate you, bro.
Most stuff will be on Who Sampled. There is a video I found, I think, and that's called like something about Who Sampled. What did they sample or something? And this guy puts a lot of he shows like through their career what they've all sampled. There was some samples I noticed from ICP's past that wasn't even on this video. So
yeah,
there's a few things. I think there's a few things I've noticed that hasn't even been put out on the video yet. But I mean, there's a plethora of shit from their past that they've sampled, not just music from movies.
It'll be fun to kind of dive down that. Yeah. And then if you juggalos are watching with us, you know, we'll fucking collect them all on the fly when we do this episode. That'll be fun.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I'd love to see that, man. Like, you know, just go into that a little bit more.
Yeah, I think that's dope.
And I want to, you know, like I said, I want to see a little bit more of this album, what they did. So
dope, man. All right, you ready to wrap this motherfucker up?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, let's shuffle the fuck up on out of here.
And slide Yum Yum back into the deck.
Oh, not yet. Well, but we'll see you guys later. All right.
I got to pull it out and listen to it. Yeah.
See you guys.
It's also the beginning.
Thanks for hanging.
The beginning of a brand new, solid juggalo world for us all to enjoy. We'll never die alone.
Juggalos will carry on.
Swing our hatchets if we must.
Each and every